Check, check. Mic check.
Fly racing.
This is the Fly Moto 60 Show.
Presented by Maxxis Tires. Get data, decal works, 100% goggles, Vertex pistons, Plum Creek funding, Seat Concepts, and Zool.
On ColdMX.com, taking your calls and looking ahead to the races with your host, Steve Mathis.
Yeah, welcome everybody. Fly Racing Moto 60 Show. Another Thursday. St. Louis this weekend, super good dirt, triple crown, indoors. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to having seen a nice race this weekend. 250 West Series, even though we're in St. Louis. It is a West round. I hope Levi Kitchen got his plane ticket. And, of course, the 450 class marches on. It is round 12. So, yeah, five left after this weekend. And, yeah, looking forward to talking some Monster Energy Supercross with you guys. 702-586-7857. Zach Osborne and Michael Antonovich on the show today. And phone lines are open. We are giving away a set of 100% goggles and some Fly Racing tie-downs as well. Thanks to the folks at Fly Racing, whether it's RJ Hampshire, whether it's Max Anstey, both guys had the red plates in 250 class this year and wearing Fly Racing. And you look at Justin Brayton, Dean Wilson, and so on and so forth, Chance Hymus. FlyRacing.com for more information. 25 years of Fly. Formula helmet. If you haven't checked out the Formula helmet and the Formula S helmet, I urge you to, like, seriously, push stop on this show. Push stop on the YouTube and go look at the Fly Racing helmet. The Formula helmet's next level technology. Super safe, super quiet, super comfy. All of it is a great helmet. FlyRacing.com for more information on that. Thanks to the folks at Get Maxxis. 100% Decal Works, Plum Creek Funding, Seat Concept, Zools, Vertex Pistons, all on board with us. Thank you to the folks at 100%. They are a generation of racers asking, how much effort do you give? Pulp 30 is the code to save at 100%.com. And that code saves you on goggles, like the ones Star Racing and Jet Lawrence wear. It saves you on mountain bike stuff as well. Glasses, MLB guys are wearing their glasses. Happy opening day, by the way, for MLB fans today. Pulp 30 is the code to save 100%, and casual wear, all of it. It's great stuff. Thank you to the folks at 100% for making it happen, and Maxxis Tires as well. MXSTs, developed by McGrath, PRMX, and the Mad Parts Kawasaki team putting the new Maxxis Tires. There's a soft intermediate, intermediate to hard terrain tire. They're putting Maxxis Tires in the main event. So if you haven't thought about Maxxis for a while for a tire, please look into it. Thank you to the folks at Maxxis. Great guys, and yeah, UTV tires as well. And mountain bike tires, of course. Taking your calls over there in the corner, holding things down. 702-586-PULP. Traveling Tits. What's up, TT?
Hello.
How are you?
Glad to be here. Thank you.
Glad to be here.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's only an hour.
Okay.
Don't have to miss any sleep for it.
All right. Yep. Also, directing the show, holding things down. Both men are in today. It's a miracle, everybody. 2 weeks in a row, they're both in. The Travis Marks.
2 weeks in a row. I would say don't get used to it, probably.
Yep.
Just for the sake of your...
Sanity. Yep.
Cardiovascular health, all of the above.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
I want to thank, shout out to Red Bull for shipping some Red Bull here, which Marks, like the little greedy chipmunk that he is, just compensated.
I loaded those up
truck.
In the truck so fast.
Oh my God.
Thank you, Red Bull.
He's got cases and cases of Red Bull now. Just
and I'm sipping on one right now. It's wonderful.
Oh boy!
And I took it from your fridge, so it didn't take away from my allotment.
Right, just took mine. Got it. Okay, perfect.
Thank you, sir.
That's how these guys roll. If anybody's wondering,
business doing pleasure with you.
Pulp fantasy this week in Triple Crown. By the way, I don't know why I said that. 702-586-7857. Plum Creek Funding. If you have a vacation home like Tits Legendary, if you're looking to pull cash out, the rates are all right now. If you're a first-time buyer, you're an investor, Plum Creek Funding has programs to suit your needs. Zach has done My Mortgage, Parabinos, JT, a bunch of moto people. So he's a great guy. ZACH at plumcreekfunding.com, P-U-L-M, creekfunding.com, 720-212-4685. Reach out to Zach with some home equity, home loan stuff, and he will help you out. Plum Creek Funding. So thank you to those guys for coming on the Fly Race and Moto 60 show. As usual, let's start it off with this guy. He is a Supercross champion. He is a motocross champion. He's a GP winner. He's a GNCC competitor. The Zach Osborne. What's up, Zacho?
Not much. Just got back from the track. Went out there with Joey and another guy I'm working with, Wyatt, Canadian kid today. So, yeah, hanging out.
Okay, so how's the ribs? Are you riding back yet? Or are you back riding or no?
No, I'm not. Yep. I'm actually kind of not rushing it. It just kind of is what it is at this point.
Can we put a pin in the balloon of Zach Osborne to Canada rumors?
Yeah, we can put a pin in pretty much all the rumors.
Oh, even the comeback to motocross, all of it.
Yeah, I think so. It's going to be too tight to do it properly, and
sure,
that's not fun when it's like that. So yeah, okay. I don't think it's going
to
happen.
All right, well, good to know. We can put that out there. Zach Osborne here on the Fly Race. Yeah, it's bullshit. Fly Race and Moto 60 show. Lots to get into, Zach. A Triple Crown, St. Louis. First of all, good dirt. Everyone loves this dirt. It's a dome. What about St. Louis? When I say St. Louis to you, what do you think about?
You know what? I only raced St. Louis two times, I think, and I think it was my rookie year, and then 2019 when we went there.
Okay.
Great dirt. Not my favorite. Dallas would be my favorite.
Mm-hmm.
But great dirt. Cool stadium. Not the nicest city we go to. But definitely I think that it's going to be a much better Triple Crown venue, dirt, mm-hmm. all that stuff. I think we're in for a treat.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a great race. By the way, Anton's probably going to want to fight you for those comments about St. Louis. So he's
what? Which ones?
But not a nice city.
I mean, it's not that great.
Okay, well, he's coming up next, so.
Wasn't my favorite. I did, dude, my wife and I stumbled upon some random taco shop, like, right down the street from the stadium that was insane when we went there. It must have been 20, not 19, sorry. But, yeah, that I was very impressed with the taco shop. That was about it.
Good to know. By the way, we have a live show in St. Louis tomorrow night. Phil Nicoletti and Adam Cine Cirillo are the guests.
Yeah, invite. I don't know what happens to all my live show invites. It's super weird.
I mean, are you going to be in St. Louis at all?
No.
So we have to fly you Florida to St. Louis and then put you up in a hotel and invite you on the live show?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, I'll keep that in mind. I think we're working on one for Salt Lake City. So maybe that one, Zacho.
Let me know.
All right. So, yeah, buy the tickets on pulpamex.com. And we have about, maybe 50 tickets left or so for the St. Louis show tomorrow night at the Motorcycle Museum down by downtown St. Louis. So please check it out. Thank you.
So then how many have you sold, like 10?
Yeah, we sold 10. We got 50 left.
Sweet.
Okay.
Sweet.
Hey, so great race. Cooper Webb, Chase Sexton. Are we too, I felt bad a little bit on the review show and even the pulp show because, Coop got his third win. Gained 5 points on Jet. That's awesome. Chase rode really well, led 16 laps. But it took Jet Lawrence to have not one, not two, but three issues for those dudes to win. So do we just celebrate Coop and Chase, Zacho, or do we point that out that the kid that's been on a roll had a lot of issues and still got third? How do we approach this?
Well, I think it's kind of Coop doing what Coop does, right? He wasn't the fastest guy. He wasn't. He probably wasn't even the second fastest guy, but he won.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how he does it. That's how he rolls. That's how what's defined his career. Definitely, in my opinion, Jet was going to win the race still before the Breeze incident.
Mm-hmm.
After his first fall with Coop, I still think he had a really, really good shot to win the race, which is insane to think that you can fall and, you know, I think it was 17 seconds down at one point after that. And it wasn't even a thought in my mind. Like when he got up, I was he can still win this. It's not over yet, you know? So I think a little bit of both. You can point out a little bit of both, but I don't know where it happens at. Like we talked about last week, it's not like he's doing anything extremely special or flashy. It's just, he's just fast, man.
Yeah, I mean, you look at those, it wasn't just the sand wall. Everybody, talks about that, and it was gnarly and it was awesome. But it was the two rhythms after that.
Yeah, a lot of people were doing that, but no one was doing it quite as good as Jeff.
No,
I don't feel like he was, like, icing it.
No, I absolutely, I agree. And then you look at the next rhythms, he was getting that too, the 2-3-3-3, three out of the next turn, and guys were struggling with it, and dude, this guy's just clicking it off, like no problem.
Yeah, it comes to him differently. You know, he's seeing something, maybe not something different, but something so much slower and easier that makes it all come to him so much simpler, I guess.
Hey, taking us behind the mind of a racer a little bit, and I feel like I'm going to try to say this in the nicest way possible about you, Zach. When you were a championship contender, you were a bit of a overthinker, a bit of a worrywart, a bit of you know, like I feel
that's
like
all rumors and hearsay.
Well. Okay. No, you know what I mean, right? Like, so, no.
I'm just joking.
Yeah. You were a lot mentally at your peak, and you lived and thrived off this stuff. So here's a question I got from someone in a group text this week. Sexton, you know, obviously Supercross champion last year and one win this year. He has been very open about his struggles on the bike, trying to get comfortable. He said he's finally happy this weekend because he rode like he knows he can, and the thing's been a struggle, and the meltdown in December, and all this stuff that we in the media like, and it's very interesting, and I give him full props for being as open as he is, and it's great to learn from him, and it's a refreshing interview whenever you talk to Chase. But here's the but. Like, you guys, and you were one of these guys. I mean, you don't win a Supercross champion like Chase Sexton, but you won just about everything else, and so I'm putting you on the level of a championship guy like Chase Sexton. Like, by admitting all of that and by talking about all of that, do you have to be a little bit mentally stronger and just not even acknowledge that stuff to be a champion? You know what I mean? Like, does him talking about this sort of hurt his mental attitude of, like, I'm the fucking man?
I believe so, yes. To me, like, if you go in each weekend thinking, like, yeah, bike's just not quite there yet, like, we'll get there.
Mm-hmm.
That's not really, like, a winning
exactly.
mindset. I'm not really, like, a mindset guy. Like, I don't like that word, but that's not really, like, a winning attitude, in my opinion. I'm impressed with how I guess open or honest or whatever you want to say he has been about it, but at the same time, I'm a little bit puzzled like you. Like, it's not really normal to see that. Well,
no, because and again, I was on some teams with Chad. Like, he would come in and mother F the bike to the team, and then the lights would come on, and that dude is just so stubborn and so determined he would make it work.
Yeah, and I understand that, but like also, like, at what point does like the powers that be, like, hey man, like, you're supposed to be promoting this thing, you know? I don't quite know where that dynamic is either, but
yeah,
you know, I think Chase, personally, I think he just kind of had stars in his eyes, or I don't know what, but it's a puzzling situation for me to see him talk that openly about it. And I mean, it's cool because nobody
ever does
that, but there's a reason nobody really ever does that, you know?
I and I'm not trying to, like, I love it, and I hope he keeps doing it, and I hope he can separate the bike issues with the winning mentality of what you guys sometimes need to do. Like, there's so much, and I'm going to use this word lightly, like, there's so much delusional stuff you have to tell yourself sometimes.
For sure. Yeah, I can agree with that.
Yep.
I mean, at times, there's, you know, you're seconds off and you're still going up there to win, right?
Yeah, like, absolutely.
Not that realistic, but
yeah.
The thing with Chase is, like, he's such a good rider. He's so fast. This time last year, you know, it was nothing for him to go out in time qualifying and have a second on the field. And I know that he's not going to do that to Jet, but I think last year his speed, raw speed, qualifying speed was on par with Jet. Mm-hmm. In my opinion, Jet right now, if you will. So they're in there somewhere. When he's comfortable and when things are right, I think Chase can challenge probably more than anybody else on the track right now in terms of capability and skill set and all those things, being young, being willing to take the risk, et cetera, I think Chase is the main guy who can really step up and make this not super boring over the next 5 years. But, yeah, I mean, he has to find the comfort that he's looking for. And, yeah, we'll see if he does it, you know?
Yeah, yeah, it's interesting. I just – again, I love his interviews. I love the honesty. I mean, he told us last year about how he was changing the rake and on the Honda and moving it in. And you know what I mean? All this stuff that was so interesting and so honest. But sometimes, you know, Chad would get beat by James by 15 seconds and he'd be like, yeah, yeah, my bike was off. I'll be fine. And you're like, no, he just whooped your ass, you know?
Yeah, I have a hard time with that because I was never that guy. Like, it's a well-known fact that I didn't test much. I didn't change much, but I always knew my bike very well, and I just wanted to get my bike to like 90% and ride it from there, which I didn't win a Supercross title. Maybe that's why, maybe not, you know, I don't know. So I don't really ever want to like crap on anyone's philosophy, but at the same time, I don't think you can change so many things in, you know, already the bike change was a massive change, team change was a massive change. So, like, at some point, you just have to put hours in and get comfortable with the bike to where you know what's going to happen on some setting. You know? Like, at some level, you know what's coming.
Yeah, for me, I mean, look, my listeners have heard me say it 1,000 times, and I'm coming from the mechanic team point of view. We'll get you to 90%, but we can't make the bike stay low in the corner and turn inside on a dime and then also hold up in whoops.
Yeah.
Like, we just can't do that. Like, you just can't. You got to ride it.
It's not possible.
No. So we'll get you 90%, and then you got to ride it, you know, and adapt to it the best you can as a rider. But, man, over the years, I've heard enough champions and enough great riders just continue to say, you know, the bike's a problem, or and then just override it or use it as a problem, use it as a crutch, you know? So
yeah. Yeah, I know exactly what you mean, and like I said, that was never really my philosophy, but also I didn't win as much as the guys were talking about, so I can't really throw much shade or any shade at them, and I'm not trying to, but that would be my approach, is just getting more comfortable with what you have and then making small changes. You know, I've literally been on teams with people that are, like, changing clamps and a fork setting that they've never ridden before for a main event. It's doable. It's possible. But also, a lot of that's between your ears. So, just, you know, I don't know. It's just different strokes, different folks.
But I do believe, like I said off the top, I do believe that to be, like, one of the best and win these titles, you got to be a bit just like, fuck everybody. My bike's great. I'm going to do this.
Yeah, you know? I agree. And I don't know. I don't know from the inside or outside or whatever, because I haven't been at any races this year. But I don't think Jet's changing that much on his bike. His bike looks the same every weekend.
Yeah. Zach Osborne here on the Fly Racing Moto 60 Show, 702-586-7857. We got some lines open still.
Do they test a ton? Do they change a ton?
No. That, from what I understand, they motor-wise, I don't know, but chassis-wise, no. No.
Yeah.
Decal Works is great, guys. PulpMX23 is the code to save at 20% off your custom graphics. Decal Works, number one for many reasons. These guys win so many rider magazine surveys and media surveys. Decal Works' mission is to cater to those who love to ride, upholding the true definition of quality, service, and knowledge. So thank you to those guys. Use the code 20% off of PulpMX24 as a code to save. All right, let's get to some phone calls. We got Zacho on the line. Josh is at 3. He has a Chase Sexton question. So, Josh, what's up, man?
Hey, guys. How's it going? Just continuing on Chase, you know, we saw him ride the Honda last year, and he looked awesome, but he crashed a lot. And now we're to the point where Jet is just dominating the class. So where do you guys think we would be if Chase was still on the Honda, aside from the mentality of, you know, being on a team with Chase?
Yeah.
You know, where would we be?
Meaning being on a team with Jet, you mean?
I
think he'd be better, but I still think it's Jet's time. What do you think, Zacho?
Closer, but not there, I don't think.
Yeah, closer with some more wins, probably, right?
But also, I think mentally, and I'm totally speaking hyperbole, but I think mentally he was just ready to move on. So maybe if he had stayed, the mental drag of that or whatever he was experiencing wouldn't have allowed him to be even as good as last year or even as good as he is on the KTM, right? But we're just kind of spitballing. So that I don't know. Maybe it is, maybe closer. I still don't think it's even by any means.
It is funny, though, Zacho. He made his decision, like, early in Supercross, right?
Yeah.
And it is funny to see him win the Supercross title and then go through the outdoors. He missed a couple races there. He missed a race or so. But you almost wonder if he had a do-over. You know, maybe Roger.
I don't think it changes. Okay. I personally don't, but maybe. I don't know.
All right. Thanks, Josh. Thanks for the call.
Thanks, guy.
Appreciate it. Morgan's on two. He's got a question for Zacho. Go ahead, Morgan.
Hey, thanks, Steve. Hey, Zach. You know, being a massive fan of the sport that I am, I live in Florida here locally. Like, I sometimes run into pro riders and, like, I follow the very closely. I listen to everything Steve's saying and whatnot. But, like, so sometimes I run into people like yourselves, and I'm super pumped, like a kid in a toy store. And even though, like, I could be dad to half of these guys, right? But you, like, my heroes because I, like, adore what you do because I ride myself. So half of my moto guy crew is younger than me, and they always give me shit that I'm always, like, so pumped when I see some of you guys and want to, hey, just talk to you. Just, like, I'm not trying to be your friend. He's like, you all got stuff going on. I'm just pumped to see you there. Joey Savacci is one of your friends now, and even though you guys had that past, which was awesome, by the way, that race. But so he was there one place that we ride our crew. You've been a crew many times. I'm sure I've never seen you there, but I know you've been there. And so, like, I ran into him, and I'm like, hey, Joey Savacci, how cool is he here? And he completely did, like, cool guy thing. Like, well, he's like, hey, like, he said hi, but, like, he was almost, like, kind of like, don't bother me type of thing. I don't know if he was working, and I'm so I didn't like.
Yeah, what was he? What was he doing? Like, what was he? Was he in a gear? Was he riding? Was he just pull off the track?
He was in gear, but he's walking without a helmet up towards, like, the parking area, or whatever. And I was coming up to the pit on my bike.
Okay.
Which, you know, Zach knows all about the pit. So, like,
were you on a Cali?
My question is for Zach.
Right, wait, were you go ahead, Zach. I'll ask him.
Were you on a Cali?
Sorry. Yeah.
Was it like lap? Last week or week before?
Yeah, it wasn't long ago. Were you there?
Yeah, I was there. Yeah, I was standing right beside him.
Oh, man.
I saw the whole thing. But, yeah, he had just came off from a moto, and I think something happened to the bike. And, yeah, it wasn't great timing. But typically you're not going to get that out of most guys or even Joey.
Right. No. I was not even, like, you know, 100%. I felt like, yeah, he's probably busy. But, you know, the thought was, you know how he's got a little bit of a bad rep or has in the past where it's like, oh, Joey doesn't interact with the fans and all that kind of stuff. And so that's the only thing I felt like that. And my question to you was, like, if I see you somewhere, Dade City, you know, I've seen Craig talk to him there. If I see you there, I'm going to 100% say hi to you. Same thing as Steve. He's going to love it because he loves fans. So I'm just saying, like, as a fan, like, we run into you, especially living here. Like, if I live in California, same thing. I would see people all the time because I'm into it, and I own a business in this industry. So, but what's your thought? Like, would you not, like, you retired, would you rather not, like, even have anybody say hi? Like, I'm not asking anybody for signatures. I'm just, like, pumped to see.
Okay, Morgan. All right, Morgan. Let's let Zach talk.
Sorry.
No, I think that's totally fair to say hello. And, I mean, even ask for a picture, a signature. Like, that's our life. That's our job or what we've been paid to do or get paid to do. I don't have any problem with that ever, to be honest with you, but some guys would, you know, some guys get annoyed by it. Some guys get recognized more than others. But at the end of the day, it's not like we're, you know, celebrities of movie fame or whatever you want to say. So to me, yeah, you're not doing anything wrong, Morgan. Don't ever hesitate. If somebody blows you off, then that's on them.
But also, yeah, if Joey did the moto and his bike had an issue, then...
Yeah, I get it.
Yeah,
I would never...
Sure.
Yeah.
Right. All right.
Steve.
Thanks, man. Appreciate it. Thank you. Yeah, I got blown out by some 9-year-old on Twitter for blowing him off at Mesquite, I guess.
What a dick, Mathis.
I just... You know.
I actually watched that whole Joey thing go down. We were at Crim 2 weeks ago. I remember it. Literally, like, I was kind of like, oh, wow, he kind of cool guy, that dude.
Oh, okay, so, yeah, you did think that, right?
So as soon as he said that, I was like, dang it, like, I'll watch this happen. But, yeah, it was a little bit of a special scenario.
All right.
That, you know, also at the track, it's, you know, it's work, right? It's,
yep.
it's the job. So, people have to understand that. I've seen some incidents go down in like autograph lines and stuff like that, that super bum me out.
Mm-hmm.
Because like we're more accessible than any other sport, sports heroes or whatever you want to say. And I think that that is appreciated, but also a little bit forgotten,
mm-hmm.
That we are so accessible. So yeah, I don't know.
All right.
The point.
Seth's on one. What's up, Seth?
Hey guys, thanks for taking my call here. I was going to think Zacho here might have a little bias to my question, but after hearing that he is pulling the pin on the future racing, that may not be. I was just wondering which of the new manufacturers coming in, Beta, Ducati, Triumph, which one do you think wins a major U.S. championship first? You can exclude regional 250 if you want, or if you want to include that, that's fine, but curious on your take there.
What do you think?
Probably Triumph, just because they're ahead of the game right now, like as far as bikes being on the ground and developing and all that stuff. I think Ducati's going to come in pretty big, maybe not as big as what people had initially thought, but I think that they are going to bring a serious race-winning package right off the bat. So I would go Triumph Ducati.
Yeah, I think, like, Joey can get on the podium. I think he could maybe win races this summer,
yeah,
outdoors.
I know he can. I know he can.
Yeah, so, like, that's – I mean, I don't know if I'm calling him for championship, but – and that bike, like, from everybody that's ridden it – I mean, I rode it, but I'm not a test rider. The bike is good, you know? So I would go Triumph, too. Yeah. All right,
yeah,
Seth.
Kind of where I was leaning with their leg up on the competition. And if you have time for one more quick one,
sure.
With the sports betting coming into Supercross and everything, a hot topic has been some of the Ohtani stuff, Jonte Porter in the NBA betting mm-hmm. on himself and some other stuff. Is there any restriction from these guys betting on themselves? To, you know, can Cooper Webb bet on himself this weekend?
No. There's actually a rule in the AMA book. It was, I think it's new this year, huh, Marks? Was it new this year?
I think it was introduced for SMX last year.
Oh, SMX, yeah. About gambling and that kind of stuff for the riders. So,
is
yeah.
that why Jack got the warning for the Kenny thing?
What warning? Oh, yeah, maybe. Yeah, when he let him buy, you mean? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe. I'm not sure if that was a part of it. But, yeah, Seth, it's a rule now in the rule book. So.
Gotcha. So they headed that one off before it could get started.
Exactly. So,
all right.
Thanks,
have
man.
A great day, guys. Thanks.
Appreciate it. Thank you. David's got a Mookie question. What's up, David? You got a Malcolm Stewart question?
Yes, sir. Thanks for taking my call today.
Yeah.
Hey, so I was thinking about this, and clearly, and no disparaging remarks towards Husqvarna or anything, but clearly he's not the same Mookie as he was on the Star 450. Do we feel like maybe Mookie has regrets about making a change, or did he have no choice? Was Star going to get rid of him anyways?
Yeah, he was. Yeah, he had to leave Star. He signed a low deal to ride there, salary wise and all that, and then they were bringing on Tomac and all that, so he was leaving no matter what. Zacho, I kind of wrote about Malcolm this week. Like, it hasn't gone well. I don't think he's got a top five all year. Well, I know he doesn't have a top five all year. When you talk to Malcolm, and I only have once, he tells you about all the time you missed and how hard it is to get back into it. And I agree, all of that. That's all a valid point. But also, Zacho, he's 31, you know?
Yeah, he's older than people realize. He just, in my opinion, he doesn't have quite the wear and tear that some of the other 30, 31-year-old guys in the sport do.
Mm-hmm.
It is grossly understated in our sport how much missing 24 motos of outdoors actually costs you. And I don't think, you know, he's never done that. So he's always going to be chasing, in my opinion. And maybe just a level right now of where the sport has gotten to and all that missed time is kind of catching up.
Like, I don't see Zach, and I mean, this could be a bit of a hot take, but I don't see him getting on the box or anytime soon, you know?
No, he was definitely better to start the season last year and had some glimmers of possibly winning or, you know, getting on the podium. But right now, it's just not in the cards, I don't think.
Right. Thanks for the call, man. Do you want a set of tie downs or 100% goggles?
I could use a set of tie downs. That'd be awesome.
Awesome. Okay, stay on hold, all right? We'll give you the Fly Racing tie downs, man. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it. Thank you. Tony's on too. He's got a training question. Tony, what's your question for Zach Osborne?
Hey guys, how we doing today?
Good.
So I got a 100-mile race coming up, and I've heard a bunch of different stuff that people put in their camel bags. It is 50-mile laps, so two laps. In the past, I'm kind of just not just strictly water, but put some Gatorade and stuff in it. But I'm getting to the point where I'm pushing myself a lot more and just wanting to see what you guys recommend or what Zach will recommend as far as throwing in the camel pack for electrolytes.
I prefer a motorcycle.
Is it motorcycle?
Yeah, I mean, last year for me, I really do well with salt. So I was using the 1500 ml U-Sweet pack, and then I was running one salt, and then also there's a scratch high carb mix that's like, I want to say 40 grams of carbs per scoop or something like that. Or per serving.
Oh, wow.
So I was using some scratch and some salt, and also trying to take in some calories like gels or whatever at my pit stops.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Awesome. Perfect.
Okay. Thanks, man.
Thank you very much.
We have questions about Tomac, Zacho, and let's get to Robert. Robert, what's your question about Tomac?
Yeah. Hey, I was thinking about Tomac start and confidence and all that, and I was listening to the review pod Sunday, and JT's comments on rocks and start, how coming from the outside gave him a bit of advantage. Do you think maybe Tomac maybe should jump on that real quick and get out in that outside and get ahead of those guys, give him a confidence boost?
He's been on that for a long time, actually. Once he got better at starts, he moved to, if you notice, he always starts around the box.
Yeah, he's definitely
extra space.
Yep,
and he typically tends to go to the outside of the box, you know, depending on the corner, which typically is the right side of the box, to give himself that extra gate and a half or two gates, whatever it is for the doghouse. So I think he's been on that for quite some time now.
But Zacho, his starts have been killing him. He rode well in the heat. He rode qualified well. You know, you go back to the Indianapolis Triple Crown, all three were bad. But yeah, he does go out there. But look, I'm sure you heard the review show where JT was saying about how that was a good situation for Roczen, and that's where I disagree strongly. I know what JT's talking about. He's out there with the privateers. But no sane factory rider is going to go to the 18th gate pick.
No, it's just not thinkable, right? Not nine times out of ten. I'm going to say 50 or 60% of the time it doesn't go like that. You know what I mean?
Yep.
And when it doesn't go like that and you're on gate 18, it's really, really bad. You know, like you can go gate one, get a terrible start, and you're going to come out like fifth to eighth.
Mm-hmm.
You go gate 18 and get a terrible start, you're coming out like 18th to 22nd. That's fact, you know? So to me, there's just a lot of risk in being that far out.
Thanks for the call, man. Appreciate it. Thank you. All right. Brandon's on five. Brandon, James Stewart and Tomac question.
Yeah, so tomorrow is going to mark the 10-year anniversary of James Stewart's final win in Supercross in St. Louis back in 2014. And with this weekend being a Triple Crown coming up, I got a feeling that this might be Eli Tomac's chance to win his first race of the year, but I also think it might be his final victory of his career coming up on Saturday night.
We have a comment on YouTube, first of all, Zacho, from a Joey Savacci. Are you working out today or what? Am I solo?
He's probably sitting in my garage right now.
Unbelievable. Okay.
Call the guy who called earlier and apologize.
Yeah. And we'll call the Cowie guy, Morgan, the Cowie guy, Savacci. Tomac's really good at Triple Crowns, generally speaking. Brandon, you got a point. What do you think, Zacho? Just in a general sense of Tomac getting a win here.
I said last week, like, I'm still on the train that he's going to win a race this year. But with the starts that he's had the past couple weeks, it's not going to be a Triple Crown unless he can correct that, obviously. You know, we saw him win that last main event at A2 Triple Crown, which was an awesome ride. He waxed the field. So it's in there, and it's possible, mm-hmm. but he has to have good starts this weekend. He has to.
All right, Brandon. Thanks for the call, man. Appreciate it. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Yeah, I've talked to somebody close to the team, and when they watch it back, the video, they're kind of like, he's not risking it enough. He needs to hold it on longer.
Is he racing outdoors or no?
I don't think so. No, I don't believe so. All right, Zacho, we got Anton coming up here on the show. So I need your winners for this weekend. I didn't even talk 250s with you. Levi Kitchen really grabbed a hold of this thing. Jordan Smith really lost it. And give me your winners for St. Louis.
Well, I picked my first winner last weekend with Kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to go RJ.
Okay.
And Jet.
Okay. It's hard not to, right?
Sorry. No,
you're fine. Yeah. Listen, buddy, I get it.
Boring. Right?
Yeah, no, absolutely. Before we let you go, though, let's bring on our next guest here from Swap Moto Live. It's Michael Antonovich. Anton.
Hi, boys.
Have you been listening?
Of course I've been listening.
What do you have to say to Zach about that slam on your hometown city?
Boy had no lies detected at all. Come read our local news when you land tomorrow.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
Yeah. Love it here. Never leaving.
Yeah.
But, it takes a certain kind.
Okay. All right. Zach, I was hoping that went a little better than it did. But Anton,
I knew that was going to go that way.
Right. Thanks, Zacho. Appreciate it as always. Good stuff. We're giving you a week off next week. So, you know.
Oh, really?
Yeah. No race.
Huh.
All right. Okay. Go help Joey out.
Okay. I will. I'm on my way.
Thanks, buddy.
Bye.
Appreciate it. All right, everybody. Fly Racing Moto 60 Show. Go to motorsport.com and order some Fly Racing. Go to your local dealer. 25 years of Fly. Thank you to those guys. Appreciate them. Zuul's bags as well. These are the official bag of the Triumph guys, as well as the Ford Performance, Pastrana, and more. They choose Zuul's, Z-U-L-Z, bagco.com. Pulp24 code to save. Zuul's makes the biggest bag I've ever seen, gear bag. You could fit Anton in it, maybe two Antons in it. Whether traveling for work, pleasure, or simply hauling kids and their gear to never-ending sporting events, Zuul's has you covered. Backpacks, travel roller bags, gear bags, and more. Z-U-L-Z, Pulp24 to save. Z-U-L-Z, bagco.com. Thank you to those guys for coming on. What's up, Anton? How are you, man?
Good. How you guys been?
How's things at Swap Moto Live?
Rolling along. It's been a lot of fun.
Yeah.
I saw somebody in the live chat that was like, I didn't know that he was still in the Moto Media. And I was like, oh,
wow.
Fuck, okay. Apparently everything hasn't been catching fire like I thought it had.
The only thing I would say to that is, okay, goddamn.
Oh, yeah. I was like, oh, okay.
what's your first St. Louis Supercross you ever went to as young Michael Antonovich?
I'm like 99% sure I said it in this video that went up last night that I was at 96. Like, pretty sure, but this is also, you know, buying Monster Jam tickets. If it went fast and was loud, like, we were at it.
Yeah, yeah.
But then from 98, 99 on, like, I know it was on. Mm-hmm. And then, like, 2000, I'll say this. The more I thought about it yesterday, the more that I understand how I latch on to one rider phenomenon happens. I was looking at pictures of me in a Travis Pastrana hat.
Okay.
And, like, TP was the man. And that's really, like, what got me going to the races more. And I was 9, 10 years old. So I could see how a 9 or 10 year old would see Jet or see Hayden and be like, that's my guy. I got to go to these races and become a lifelong fan.
Look, the press box is too high, but it's a good race, good fans, pit is packed. I'm glad St. Louis is a stop, you know?
Yeah. And they played around with it so many times over the years. Like, the scheduling would be different times. And I think that's an important part. Like, one year it was up against, like, Mardi Gras on opening day, and you're not – or St. Patrick's Day or something like that, and you're not going to turn away us from going drinking to go to the Supercross race. Like, they're going to go drink wherever. But they did an afternoon race, and the crowd turnout is definitely tapered off, and, like, I think part of St. Louis's reputation has definitely dealt it that, too. But with the Supercross futures this weekend, with the Triple Crown, with the racing being as good as it is, I looked at the Ticketmaster website last night. Sold quite a few seats, so it looks like this should be a good turnout this weekend.
Yeah, Triple Crowns are great. Like, again, you don't want 17 of them, but throwing them in the season has been a welcome change, you know?
Mm-hmm. And I think that just how the St. Louis round works out, a completely enclosed stadium, the enclosed pits that are right nearby Supercross Futures with so many riders in the Midwest that can get to it.
Mm-hmm.
I think, it's a perfect time. So it should be an exciting weekend.
Let's talk 250 West a little bit, because we didn't even touch on that with Zacho at all. Let's go Mosman, first of all. Did you get a chance to talk to Michael Mosman from Star last weekend at all?
I didn't. The only thing I saw, the only time I saw Michael that wasn't on the track was right before the night show started, and I was walking out of the pits, and he was on the spin bicycle, and we waved at each other, but that's the most that I saw Michael all weekend. And I wanted to talk to him more. You know, he is a great guy, great kid to talk to, and this has been a cool story to see him put it back together. And then, you know, for that afternoon, he's the fastest guy in the world on a motorcycle.
Yeah, look, he was obviously in a good track. It was, it was unseated group that he was in because he hadn't raced all year. And that was a big part of why he got that time. I get it.
I know.
No. But it still says something that Michael Mosman could just jump in. You know?
If he was in A group, Michael could still do that. There is 100% faith in me that he could definitely do that. Yep. No questions asked.
Yeah. It's an interesting ride for him, a multi-year deal they announced. And, you want to talk about a dude trying to climb back to where he was not that long ago. I'll be watching this Mosman thing. It's interesting to me. I'm not saying race winner. I'm not saying any of that. But, man, I think he can get on the podium and all that.
Mm-hmm. And, another time for Star to throw the line out there and see who's available with good talent and knowing mm-hmm. that they got to put it together and what they're able to do. You know, Michael's definitely taken his share of slams over the last few years, and he's tried everything from different teams to living in different places. So if this is another chance for him to try to figure out what the combination is to unlock it, give it a shot.
702-586-PULP. We got a few lines open. Please check it out. We got a pair of 100% goggles to give away too as well. Michael Antonovich from Swap Moto Live on the line. So did we lose Jordan Smith in this championship fight? Or, there's some showdowns coming up, which are always a nice way to make some hay in the points. But did we lose Jordan?
Yeah, most likely. And it's such a bummer to see because that from when the first wreck happened to then seeing how the other ones unfolded, it was just so tough for Jordan. You know, because he's definitely been in that position before where he's been in the championship fight and then it just all completely unravels, and it's got to be tough, you know. But I think that he could still make it interesting, like a race win here. He could mm-hmm. definitely get back in. We need to see how Levi does over, mm-hmm. keep it going because he's still pretty early in this. And then as we've seen from RJ over the years, it could go a lot of different ways. So I wouldn't say that it's completely out of it, but, yeah, he's definitely on the back foot. I don't see him, clawing back that many points, though.
Jordan's awesome. We all like him. Good dude. But Glendale, 2 crashes. Could have been worse. This weekend, 4 crashes. You know, obviously, I think he was out of it, even though he says he wasn't. He kind of did what he does, unfortunately. You know, and we got to call it like it is.
Yeah, and you know that these guys are trying so hard to get past that, and I'm sure that even if you asked him, could you take me back through that race and what happened here and what happened here, he could probably tell you every single, this caused this and then that happened here.
Mm-hmm.
They don't want this to happen. He's trying so hard not to. And going back to what Zach was saying about the chase thing, these guys have done this so many times at this point. And Steve, I know you probably feel the same way on your job because I feel it on mine. When you go into the weekend and you have the confidence of I'm going to crush it, it does go well. But if you go in I don't know how this is going to go, that's when it unravels. And that's when you do have a bad weekend. And maybe that was that time for Jordan this weekend.
Yeah. I appreciate Chase's openness, but sometimes these elite dudes got to be like, I don't give a fuck what's going on with that mm-hmm. guy or my bike or anything. Watch this, you know?
Yeah. So, and I also think what you and Zach were saying earlier, that was an awesome conversation to continue on the great interview you did with Chase the other night too, because there's a lot of questions that we had been wondering. I thought it was also very refreshing to hear Chase even say that he rode the bike already, you know,
mm-hmm.
That was great. But I do agree with you. It is like a glass half full, glass half empty kind of thing, because you could see that as him maturing in a big way, becoming a realist, but also at the same time, you have to have this brashness and confidence and ego to mm-hmm. be better than some of these guys.
Yeah, you know how these guys roll, right? So RJ is the guy, and Kitchen, this thing's going to boil down to those two guys. Do you see, I don't see St. Louis Triple Crown favoring one or the other. Like, they're both awesome. And look, full props to RJ. He got a bad start in Seattle. He got it done with a second. That's a, on a night when you're not feeling it on that track. I think if you had told RJ coming around the first turn, hey, will you take a second? He would have done just that. Do you see this thing favoring either one of these 250 guys?
I think for either guy to get through the three races without any issue, if you can do that, that is your like stamp of confidence that I could go for this championship for sure this time, because they got to do it. You know, that's RJ putting together on a good track with a lot of traction. That's going to be really encouraging for him to push the limit and find that last little tenth. He's got to find that balance. And then for Levi, he's in this position again, still early in his career, and do it three times. I think if either of those three guys do it, I don't see one favored more than the other, but you have to cement yourself in those three motos to know that you have the edge on the other guy. Cause there's only one regular race left and two showdowns.
Oh, is that it? Really? Yeah.
Yeah.
Where's the showdowns?
Nashville and Utah.
Oh, the final one. Yeah. Hey, Mark Spanks rode amazing, right? And we've seen him on this kind of track. I mean, he made the podium at San Fran, and San Diego was a great ride. So the mud, the ruts, all of it is up Garrett's in his bag of tricks. But you look at SMX last year in the 450. You look at his fourth in the points. Couple things. Has he done enough to get another look at a factory team? And then when I said that on Monday to Phil, I got a text from another industry heavyweight that said, well, where is he? Where, who would hire him? And that was probably a better question, because he's not going back to Pro Circuit. He's not going to Star. He's not going to Honda. So that's another point. But just focus on the first one first. Has he done enough, do you think?
He's definitely done enough to merit attention. You know, Garrett has done a very, very good job, because this is a rebuilding process for him to go to that team. Like, no offense to everybody over there, but and he went from Pro Circuit to that. And it was when they were still in their infancy and still building things out. And he's built with them, you know, step by step. So I see both sides on this one. Like, he's definitely got the potential. And I'm sure that there's some team manager or some OEM that's rubbing their hands together thinking like, oh man, if we got him, like, we could really shine that diamond in the rough off. But also, he's so ingrained with the Club MX program, and he's gotten so much better with them. I would honestly think it would be hard for him to leave. Like, you're not going to find the relationship that he has with them, from what we see on the outside, at least, anywhere else. You know, it's taken you this many years, you really growing up, coming from being a teenager into a young adult with them. Like, they've seen you, and you're good and you're bad. Do you want to go relearn that with everybody again?
Yeah, exactly. Right. So, it might be the best place for him, like you said.
Yeah. And they're building, you know, that team is getting very, very good, and they're taking themselves more serious every year. Not that they didn't take themselves before, but it's just the only way that they can progress is with the experience that they're learning. The engine troubles or the bike setup issues that they had a few years ago, letting Garrett then step to the 450 when they knew we should do this rather than just toiling him with trying to develop this bike. They've been really adaptive to all that.
Yeah, for sure. Vertex Precision Equals Performance. For more information on Vertex Pistons, allballsracinggroup.com. And please check out aftermarket pistons, gaskets, complete engine rebuild kits. For ATVs, UTVs, and more, manufactured in Italy, Vertex Pistons are both cast and forged, while their gaskets are proudly made in the USA. Allballsracinggroup.com, Vertex, Precision Equals Performance. Thank you to the folks at Get and Athena as well. You look at Factory Honda using the Get ECUs on 250 class, using the data loggers and the whole shot start buttons as well, or not, sorry, whole shot buttons. The quick start lights as well from the folks at Get and Athena. Stuff works. Two-stroke CDIs also for the EFI KTMs. They have been selling a ton of those. So email us using the contact form of PulpMX for Get and Athena, and we'll pass that on to you guys. Tristan is on four. Tristan, what's up, man? How are you?
Good.
What's your question?
I was just wondering if Tomac's not coming back, if you don't think he's coming back next year, do you think he's going to get a win this year, or if he does get a win, do you think he's going to come back next year? Do you think that has something to do with him coming back or not? And then if he gets a whole shot, do you think he holds off Webb, Sexton, and Jett for the full 20 minutes?
Well, that's a bunch of questions in there. Do I think he comes back next year? No, I do not. Anton?
I don't know. I know everybody's been talking about it. And I think that if anything from him being off this past summer showed, like, he would have to race this summer to be as competitive as everybody wants him to be next summer. Another year, another 24 motos off, like Zach said, you're not going to gain anything. If he didn't race that, that would tell you everything you need to know. But I'm kind of the belief that he might have a little bit more fight left in him, you know, but we don't know. Nobody's heard. We tried.
Lewis Phillips asked Eli Preste about outdoors, and he said, I'm not going to talk about it right now.
And I asked Coker in Birmingham, I'm like, have you guys had the conversation yet? And he said, no.
Yeah.
And he's like, we'll let Eli have that conversation with us when he's ready.
So I don't know if he gets a win. Like, you know, Osborne just said he does, and he's been pretty adamant on the show that he does. I would lean 50-50 to me. Look, there's always a guy that we say stamp the win, and then they don't win. Jason Anderson last year, Cooper Webb the year before. So, Anton, like, yeah, I'm not sure. I'm not going to sit here and say he's going to win.
Yeah, I was so, like, high on it a couple weeks ago. You know, it's going to happen this year. It's going to happen this year. And then as it's gone on, the way the starts have been the last few weeks, it's definitely been difficult. Because getting through the start's going to be the most important thing for him. The Seattle one was really tough. But I think that if he raced next year, obviously more races would better the odds and everything, but just more time. Like, he would figure out how to win again. If he's done it this many times, he still knows how to do it. Just the opportunities have to line up.
Yep.
And it would be really, really great, I think, to hear from his perspective, the tone shift and the perception of him over the last 2 years. Like, last year, oh my God, he's going to win more. He's going to win more. He's going to win more. Oh my God, why isn't he winning more? Does he suck now? And I know that he hates both sides of that rhetoric. He hates being asked about being in the record book, but he probably hates being asked, why aren't you winning just as
well? Well, listen, man, whether it's Bradshaw, whether it's McGrath, whether it's Stanton, they're all going to keep winning forever until they don't. And then you look back and you go, oh, like, this is how it went for them.
Yeah. You never know when your last time of something is going to be.
No. You know? If you've gone to all these greats and said, after this night, hey, do you know this guy's never going to win again? You would have never taken that bet from these guys, because you just think it's going to keep rolling, and then it doesn't. So we got to adapt to that for this Tomac thing. Three straight races outside the top five.
Okay, so on the whole, like, St. Louis hype-up thing, I watched 02. So Ricky on the Honda, Jeremy's last year on the Yamaha, and just how that went. And if you watch that whole ESPN broadcast, like, not to cover the re-raceable thing on your toes, but Jeremy's getting asked all of the same things that Eli is at that time. And Jeremy never won again, and we all thought it was so imminent. And I said this in a little piece I did yesterday. It is wild to see 22 years later just the cycle play back out again, because it's going to happen all the time. You know, it's like you said, you could go ask those guys, did you think that was going to be your last race? And they would never say no.
No, of course not. Tristan, you want a pair of 100% goggles?
Sure, that'd be sweet.
All right, stay on hold. All right, we'll get you the 100% goggles. Thanks for calling. Appreciate it. Fly Racing, and check out Fly Racing at your local dealer. 25 years of Fly. Get Maxxis, 100% Decal Works, Plum Creek Funding, Seat Concepts, Zools, Vertex, all on board with us. Seat Concepts, love these guys. They make complete seats and various height and width profiles. Each seat incorporates a proprietary foam formulation. They're designed to provide a comfy seat for your bum. Whether you're hitting the motocross track or gearing up for the trek across the country, Seat Concepts has a seat for you. Saving asses since 2009. Pulp MX 24, the code to save. Developed and handmade in the USA by motorcycle enthusiast Seat Concepts. Shout out to our guy Max Steffens, working at Seat Concepts now, Anton.
Heck yeah, good for Max.
Yeah, so thanks to the folks at Seat Concepts. Michael Antonovich from Swap Moto Live on the show. St. Louis Triple Crown coming up this weekend. Anton, have you talked to Barcia lately? I talked to Ollie, the team manager. Happier, they've tested, they've got some different stuff going on the bike. He's much happier, but he's in a situation like Malcolm a little bit where he's happier and things are getting better, but this is round 12, and these dudes at the front have been progressing while they have not been progressing. So, like, I wrote this in my column, like, we need a good Barcia controversy. We haven't got it. I feel like Barcia and Malcolm are in the same kind of spot.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Just both digging out of such a deep hole. And then I know for Justin, he's finally eyes over the lip of it, at least, with that new suspension and riding better. Even at Birmingham, when Eli was behind him, like, Eli was going to have to kill him to get by him. He was not going down without a fight because everything lined up for Justin that night. But it has been better. I'd love to see him really get back to, like, springy, bouncy Barsha if a track like that shows up soon.
Mm-hmm.
They just haven't been that way because they've just been so rutted and technical lately. But, I think that his potential is a little bit higher than Malcolm's is right now.
Yep.
Whereas Malcolm, you know, again, Justin's won races. Justin's been on the podium more times, more in the top five. He knows what it takes. Malcolm is still needing to do that more often, and then also is still putting together his own pieces too.
Yeah. Yeah, it is interesting to see Barsha be a little bit more feisty lately. He seems to be hitting the deck a little bit more, Anton, like just small stuff, right? But he does seem to crash more than usual.
But, I mean, is that one of those things where it's trying to find the next level and you got to get over that couple slams to find out where the level is?
Yeah.
Is that him being more comfortable doing that again?
Yeah, maybe, right? Maybe, yeah. It's interesting to see. But right now we're having, you know, Anderson. I don't know where Anderson sits. I think AP kind of went through a little mini slump there at Daytona. Birmingham wasn't great. And I think AP's back to that level. And I don't know about Anderson. I'm on the fence about Anderson, and I think Tomac is hanging on to that lead group of Sexton, Jett, and Webb, and Roczen, and then Tomac's hanging on. And I don't know what about Anderson. This has been an extended slump here,
and a bit out of nowhere too. You know, if it would have been one thing if you had seen Jason not be as fiery as he was in those first few, because during those West Coast races, it was almost the countdown to when's Jason going to get this main event win.
Mm-hmm.
But I know that there's been so much, and like you jokingly said about him being in North Carolina because he's near Phil.
Yeah.
But I know that they've enjoyed that. I know that that's been a real refreshing thing just for his program and for the full training thing and John Wessling. But then even Kawasaki is freed up a bit. Just be like, oh, yeah, you can go do that. You can go out there and ride, and we trust you to do your work. That's cool.
Yeah,
unexpected slump for Jason.
Do we blame this on Phil? Okay. Mm. All right.
Phil's got enough going on right now.
Did you interview Phil last week in the scrum? I heard he was extra angry.
I did not.
Okay.
I did not.
But, yeah.
Dude, no.
Dude, how good your Monday night show was, that just shows you how much these guys are into it. Like, I'm going to go in and punch the couch in the lounge.
Yeah, no.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I know those guys do it, but I don't know it, and I do that shit sometimes. So to know that it's okay that other people are doing it, it's probably not the best thing, but to just get it out and know you're taking your shit that serious.
Right.
You connect with that on a much tighter level because you understand the frustration that it's going through. Then if everybody was just like, oh, seventh place, that was tight, it would suck.
Yeah. No, you're right. Last call here on the Fly Racing Moto 60 show from Ryan. What's up, Ryan?
Hey guys, I was calling. I was just thinking about with Jett at Daytona almost not getting his tire swapped out and the teams making the riders run Moose inserts. Why don't they go to like a quick changer in like on road racing bikes to prevent all that?
Like you mean just like a, I don't know, like is it like a bicycle axle thing?
Well, like with road racing, it's like a reverse thread, so you don't run a nut on the other side and a captive.
Oh, I got it. Yeah, captive axle thing and everything, so you just spin it out. I don't know. I mean, that doesn't really come into play very much, right? Like, how often do they change wheels and they have problems? You know.
Yeah, but I understand that. But don't all the riders hate bib mooses too, and they make them run them for the outdoors? Where like if they got a flat, they could just come in and change it in 15 seconds and be out again.
No. No, that's too much time. Yeah.
They actually don't mind the moose because they like the feeling of it. I mean, once you've done that whole outdoor setup, you're like, you would never run it for Supercross because of the rotating mass. But then the other thing is the tire change thing, especially on the start, that's new. You know, that's really just because of the grate. And so that would be a lot of reinventing the wheel on all of your fasteners and stuff like that. And they've only done this for the last 2 years to take it to there. I don't even know if a team has thought that far out. You know, them carrying power tools down to the starting line to change out wheels, that's a recent five-year phenomenon.
There's no way, Ryan, they're going to waste 15 seconds either in a race to change a tire just because of a feel of a moose, right? And like Anton said, too, the mooses have been getting better. So thanks for the call. Thank you. Appreciate it. All right, Michael. We'll see you this weekend in St. Louis. Let's not have a repeat of the barbecue chicken pizza fiasco.
That was Indianapolis.
Okay.
We won't.
I thought it was St. Louis. My bad.
No.
Is the young Anton stopping by?
Which one? There's two.
Wait. You have
the long haired one or the child?
No. The long haired one. The brother.
Yeah, he's supposed to come.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, the child will be there, clearly.
Yeah, the kid's going to be there. I'm excited for
this. Did you name your kid after a yogi?
Yeah. Megan, like, that's where my part of it came in. Megan said her part was from something else, but it was 100% because of Yogi.
Nice. I like that. That's awesome.
Yeah. Yogi's a man.
Give us your winners this weekend. 250 West, 450 Supercross.
Levi's on a roll, and he's riding really, really well.
Here we go.
I'd like to. Okay. He's going to.
Levi and
he's
Jet.
He's taking. A big step, yeah. It's Levi and Jet, dude.
Okay.
Sorry.
I mean, low. Yeah, you got to do it. I get it.
It's Levi and Jet. But the Cooper Webb fights lately, like just the grittiness and all of it, it's been awesome. And just to see it become those two, you know, in the championship chase, getting back into it, you know, it's hard to say, but, man.
Yeah.
Jet's good, man. And, like, Cooper is great. And it they're all so good, but, like, you just, really, really hard to bet against the two guys that got the momentum with them right now.
Jet's good, man. We'll leave it at that quote. We will leave that quote for the show. Thank you, Anton. Swap Moto Live. He's still in the Moto Media, everybody. He's still there, grinding away. Thank you, buddy. Appreciate it. We'll see you this weekend, all right?
Yeah, thanks, guys. Have fun.
See ya. That's Michael Antonovich, everybody. Fly Race and Moto 60 show. Great job, Tits.
Yeah, man.
Not bad, Marks.
Again, yeah, with man. This.
Great, great work, Tits.
Hey, I would like to I would like to point out I was here early today.
First. To get your
Red Bull. Exactly. That's why.
Like a greedy little
chipmunk.
It reminds me of me, actually.
Putting acorns in his cheeks.
I'm taking after Tits. I don't know if that's good for you or not.
It's not good for me. We are off next week. Fly Race and Moto 60 show. Thank you for watching. Thank you for listening. See you in a couple weeks.